Joining me now is Evan Coleman from Washington, D.C. Evan?
Hello.
In the coverage last week of your film that was played at the Hamdan trial, we ran across this quote or description of you as the Doogie Howser of counterterrorism. Did you happen to hear that?
Yeah, I think that's from several years ago. But yes, I'm familiar with it.
What do you make of that? This.
What am I supposed to make of it? I think, you know, it's unusual to have someone, I suppose, as young as I am, that's as into this field as I am. But, I've spent nearly a decade studying this. So, I mean, it's just a function of how old I am and how long I've been studying this.
How old are you?
I'm 29.
Right. Well, you are a public figure, and good answer to that question. If you haven't guessed by now, Evan Coleman is the filmmaker who produced the Al-Qaeda plan, which was used as evidence in the Hamdan trial, which we spoke about a little earlier this morning with one of the lead prosecutors there. Evan Coleman is an international terrorism consultant and was hired by the government to produce a film to play for the military jury. Can you explain what this film, The Al-Qaeda Plan, was supposed to achieve in court?
Yes, of course. Over the past decade and a half, there's been a large volume of information that has been released in the public sphere about Al-Qaeda from various credible sources, both from Al-Qaeda's own lips in the form of video recordings, audio recordings, and communiques. And you also have, you know, again, a vast volume of exhibits that have been submitted in federal court during trials like the trials of the 98 East Africa Embassy bombers, Zacharias Moussaoui. And these include everything from the sworn testimony of Al-Qaeda operatives to seized Al-Qaeda documents, the very ingredients that would lead one to understand how Al-Qaeda works.
Well, of course, you know, we get that there's an Al-Qaeda, and any of us
right.
who saw what happened on September 11th certainly can draw the conclusion that they don't have any sort of, goodwill for the people of the United States.
It's a little more sophisticated than that, though. I think, right now the jurors down in Guantanamo Bay are having to make some very subtle decisions. And, I mean, these are a lot more than deciding whether or not Al-Qaeda is good or bad. It's understanding how the Al-Qaeda network works, how leadership works, how decisions are made, how it functions.
That's a great subject for a documentary, but I guess as evidence in court, does it concern you that nothing in your film specifically connects Hamdan to anything, any of the images, any of the very gruesome depictions that are in your film?
Well, again, I mean, this is not different from what you would find in federal court. The same exhibits were submitted in the case of Zacharias Moussaoui. And much like Mr. Hamdan, again, with the case of Moussaoui, there was nothing directly connecting him with these events other than the fact that he was an Al-Qaeda member. He was accused of perhaps having knowledge of these events, and he did nothing to prevent himself from being used as a key cog in the wheels that turn Al-Qaeda. And I think, again, this is not a simple criminal conspiracy. This is not the same thing as an organized crime family. It's not the same thing, as a narcotics investigation. This is a far-ranging international conspiracy that began, as many as two decades ago, involved hundreds of different people spread around, various places in the world.
Yeah.
And it's also based in a language and a culture that, to be honest with you, very few Americans are familiar with.
Right. And speaking of that, do you think now that the movie has been played in open court and, you've achieved a certain amount of notoriety that it might be time to learn Arabic, maybe go to Afghanistan or Pakistan
familiarize
yourself with the culture?
I have a degree in Islam. And, I do speak some Arabic. I'm not fluent. In terms of traveling to Pakistan, trying to do this research right now in Pakistan is extremely difficult. Trying to even get into Pakistan right now to do this is extremely difficult. It's actually, to be honest with you, the people you really want to speak with are not necessarily Pakistanis or Afghanis, but they're actually Arab Afghans, because the people that ultimately are the people that populate this movement are foreign fighters. They're not Afghans. They're not really Pakistanis. And that's the subject, really, of most of this testimony is in the movie itself. And as far as that's concerned, I've interviewed these people and I've spoken with them and I've heard their firsthand accounts. But again, I would say that I think the best place to meet some of these people is not really Afghanistan, because you can't really speak openly with people who are being held in cages, and you can't...
Evan, may I interrupt you for just one second?
Ahead.
Just on that point, just in terms of your perspective, though, I mean, myself having spent some time in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and the Middle East, my perception of some of these same very issues, though obviously not of research like you, is very different. So what do you think, not having experienced just even the geography of these places, meeting the people of these places, how does that impact your analysis if you're a counterterrorism expert?
Right. Well, again, I'm studying the organization. I'm not necessarily studying the places. I'm not studying the culture here. I mean, I have a degree in Islam, but my background is in studying Al-Qaeda as an organization. And it's not, that's Al-Qaeda is an organization that exists not just in one country or two countries, but in countries around the world. And to be honest with you, I don't think my perspective is all that different from anyone else who studies this. I mean, to be honest,
that's good. I don't want to run out of time here, but what is next for you? Possibly graduate school? Are you going to work
as a... I already have a graduate degree. I have a JD, and I've done graduate level work in this subject. I mean, again,
that's fine. No, I'm not trying to impugn your credentials, but what is your more films?
No, I mean, again, my focus is on researching organizations and interviewing individuals who are behind them, and again, gathering as much open source information as is out there. And it's really, again, it's a search for ultimate truth, and it's a search for gathering, I think it's important to understand that most of this is being told through the organizations themselves and the people that run the organizations.
Nope. Understood. Yeah. And for a 29-year-old, you've certainly had quite a run the last couple of weeks, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Evan Coleman, 29-year-old international terrorism consultant who wrote, produced, and narrated the Al-Qaeda plan played in open court in the Salim Hamdan trial at Guantanamo Bay. He joined us from Washington, D.C.
John, guess what?
What?
We're always on here at The Takeaway, and you can catch up with us on our website as well as Facebook and Friend Feed.
On today's show, we're remembering Russian author Alexander Solzhenitsyn. We continue watching the Hamdan case in Guantanamo Bay, the historic military trial against Osama bin Laden's former driver. And we're taking a look at the anthrax investigation, foreclosures, and the continuing downturn in the economy.
And today's takeaway is this.
He was, in many ways, a prophet.
That was BBC filmmaker talking about Alexander Solzhenitsyn. You can join the game of Veep Stakes 2008 on Facebook. Just look for the 2008 Veep Stakes. We asked people about books that changed the world, and here was your answer.
This is Dana Franchitto in South Wellfleet, Mass. Wow, I was very shocked to hear this morning that Solzhenitsyn is dead. Important political book in response to your question. Shock Doctrine by... Naomi Klein, the Canadian author.
That's a good answer. That's a very contemporary answer. I would have picked Animal Farm, but if there's any issue that you want to respond to us, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Huckenberry.
Adore you, Doji here.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.